Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Here's the thing about kids. Them kids are just happier than me. And I'm wondering if they're just happier than you. I'm reminded when I see a bunch of kids that something has happened as I've gotten older. I'm wondering if you remember when you learned how to swim. Does anybody remember when you learned how to swim? I mean, the scary depths of the ocean became an immense playground. And the joy knew no bounds. But something happened when I got older. That joyful, awesome thing, it came in, whatever, huh, swimming, right? And I'm wondering if you remember when you learned to ride a bike. I was a little later in life. I was in fourth grade. All my buddies were like riding bikes in first grade, but I was scared to get on that bike because if you fell off your bike, you're going to scrape your knee, and I was so scared. But when I remembered in fourth grade to ride a bike, the world expanded beyond my wildest dreams. We lived on an Air Force base, and the base exchange, which was an unbelievably unwalkable distance away, was an easy bike ride just down the road. And the candy that they sold took all my allowance. Wow. Do you remember when you learned to ride your bike? But that awesome, amazing thing, sooner or later, that awesome, whatever. No big deal. And I'm wondering if you remember when you learned to drive. I mean, if the bike expanded your world, my goodness, the car expanded. So I grew up in the UP a lot because my dad was in the Air Force up there, and there were no movie theaters in our town, and there were no fast food theaters, but you could get in the car, and you could drive a half hour up to Marquette and eat McDonald's and see a movie. Wow. Somebody say, wow. But sooner or later, the wow wears off, and that which once amazed became, whatever. And so I'm wondering what happened to me, and maybe to you, as we've gotten older, the amazing became the eh. And to be honest with you, it kind of happens for me, and I'm wondering if it happens for you, around Christmas. I remember climbing in bed with my brother. Well, I'm glad that I don't do that anymore because that would be awkward. But back in the day when we just couldn't sleep, you couldn't go to sleep. Do you remember those days? You were so excited for Christmas. And Jason and I would huddle under the sheets and we would play our little handheld game that we got all night long. We couldn't fall asleep. And my parents were so cruel and unusual in their punishment, they would not let us leave the room until 5 a.m. to get the gifts. But something has happened over the years where ho, ho, ho became ho, hum. Huh. Ho, hum. And I'm wondering if you felt a little loss of the excitement that you once had around the things of Christmas. In fact, I told Zeke, one of our sons, just the other day, you know, I don't even feel like Christmas this year so much. You know, when my family was decorating for Christmas this year, I found myself busy at work, and I just didn't even feel like being there. I just wasn't even around when they were putting up the tree and stuff. And I'm wondering if any of you feel the same thing, where the ho, ho, ho has become ho, hum, and it's kind of lost its spark, its zest. I mean, what happened to us? Is it that we were overly exposed as the years have gone by? Is it that we hit those teen years when we became too cool? What is it? Is it just that life took its toll? Or is it just that some of us just got old? Well, tonight what I want to do is I want to invite back, give you permission to rekindle, somebody say rekindle, rewind, you know the game, say rewind, rediscover, and renew the joy of Christmas. Consider it maybe a pep talk for myself that some of you need. Some of you might need a pep talk to rediscover the joy of Christmas. Some of you don't need it. Some of you out there scratching your head saying, wait a minute, I've never lost the excitement. Here's what we need from you. For those of you who are as excited today as you were when you were five about Christmas, we need you to be the hype man or the hype woman when I'm teaching, all right? So as I'm giving the pep talk, if you're with me and you're like, I don't need this, but that person needs it, somebody needs to say amen when you hear something good. You got it? All right, because I think all of us have a longing deep inside for the good old days when things were new and fresh and exciting. And I think that's why churches are a little more crowded on Christmas Eve. We're just hoping to get a taste of what once was. So I want to rekindle, I want to renew, I want to re-invite all of us to go back to the excitement. To do that, I want to look at some of the people in the Bible who had an encounter with Jesus. And I'm telling you, for them, it was never ho-hum. It was always, oh my goodness. Jesus had an impact on everybody's life that did not leave them the room to be apathetic. Rather, they were amazed. So I'm going to go through some people fast here. Are you guys ready to listen fast? Elbow your neighbor and say, listen fastly. So Mary, when the Lord came down and said, hey, you're going to give birth to the Messiah, she went from afraid to amazed. Because when she encountered Jesus, she could not live in a ho-hum whatever kind of way. Now, here's the deal. I can see some of you are a little distracted because there's kids noising in the house. What they're doing is modeling for you active listening. They're disagreeing with everything I'm saying. Do you understand? You're not going to be out listened to by a youngster, are you? So Mary went from afraid to amazed. Joseph, her husband, he was disappointed in disbelief, but he was not disobedient. Therefore, he adopted the Son of God. There was no ho-hum for him. And John the Baptist, when he met Jesus, while he was still in his mama's womb, there was no ho-hum for him. He jumped for joy. So everybody in your seats, jump for joy. Just a copy. Very good. Yeah, jump it up. All right. And Elizabeth, that's John the Baptist's mom. When she met Jesus, who was still in his mama's womb, she pregnantly proclaimed, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus." There was no ho-hum for her. And when the shepherds encountered Jesus, they were amazed and alarmed, and they went from great fear to great joy. For them, there was no ho-hum nature around this thing we're celebrating. And how about those wise guys? How many of the wise men were there? How do you know that? Got you. The Bible doesn't tell you how many there are, suckers. Did you know the Bible just says there's wise men? We, for some reason, said there's three. Anyway, the three wise men, the wise guys, when they got a hold of Jesus, when they encountered Jesus, there was nothing ho-hum. They were, get this, they were magnanimously munificent. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, what does that mean? Somebody say, it doesn't matter. They both started with M and it sounded good. They couldn't help but be generous when they encountered Jesus. They couldn't help themselves. And then maybe the last of the Old Testament prophets, a guy by the name of Simeon, he was an old guy, and a woman by the name of Anna. They just kind of were waiting around to see the work of the Lord. When Simeon saw salvation in the Son, he said, today salvation has come to the earth. There was no ho-hum response when Simeon saw the Savior. And when Anna, she'd been married for 7 years, and then she was in her 84th year. She encountered this Jesus. She announced to the world the atonement of Jesus. There was anything but a ho-hum thing for her. And the disciples, they went from purposeless to purposeful. And then there's Saul, who went from malicious to missionary. I'm telling you, these people, I don't think any of them had a ho-hum apathetic response to Jesus. Rather, there was something powerful in the hook that brought them into the holiday. So what is wrong with me? Am I missing something? Has life just beat it out of me? Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Way to go, Zeke. You're right. You don't have to cover his mouth. Zeke's on to something. Right up, Zeke. And so I need to be reminded what led to their reactions. I need to be reminded why they could not be ho-hum when they met Jesus. They were excited about the king because they knew something. They knew that Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord was on him to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. And recovery of sight for the blind, to heal the brokenhearted, to oppress the free. These are Jesus' first public words. And he said, today those scriptures are fulfilled in me. They knew something about Jesus' mission, and the knowledge of his mission could keep them from being ho-hum. Their lives were radically changed. When they met Jesus, it was the dawning of a new day. So guess what? the one who said back then in the presence of all these people that the mission is fulfilled in him, he's still the one in whom God's mission is fulfilled. And so maybe we need to do some old-time Southern Baptist preaching this evening to get us a little excited a little bit, to get us back into our feels, right? So that Zeke can know that we're excited for Christmas yet again. The things that got them excited, that kept them from being ho-hum in their response, was the reality that in Jesus, they found their freedom. In Jesus, they found recovery. Is that good news for anybody? Because it was true then, and it's true today. In Jesus, they knew there was redemption. In Jesus, they knew there was renewal. In Jesus, there once was things broken, but today there is restoration. In Jesus, there is joy where there once was mourning. In Jesus, there was an inheritance of good and godly things. In Jesus, there was blessings beyond wildest dreams. In Jesus, they found sanctification where all things are made new. Is this good news to anybody? In Jesus, there was purpose to the purposeless. In Jesus, there was significance and meaning to life. In Jesus, there was direction. Have you ever been confused about tomorrow? Because in Jesus, they found direction. Because of the baby, today's struggle is tomorrow's success. Because of the baby, that fall that you fell low today becomes tomorrow's high. Because of the baby, today your life, you're barely crawling, but tomorrow you will be running a marathon. And today in the baby, the bondage that you find yourself in will be the breakthrough that you find yourself in tomorrow. In him, we have life. And I'll tell you what, Jesus is better than learning to swim, ride a bike, or how to drive. In him, there is life. In him, all things are new. And he, as Brad told us, he wants out of our place of blessings. From that place, we can live for him. And as I've told you, he wants for us, not from us. And out of that place, we can live from a place for a place of goodness. In him, we find life. In him, God is the creator. So we looked at 10 different people and their responses to Christmas. Let's say it's 2,000 years from now and they're writing your story. How would they say your response to Jesus was going this place forward? Would they be able to say there was a rekindling, a renewing, a rewinding, a rediscovering of the joy in Jesus? There's an invitation for you on this Christmas to walk out that door with a pep in your step. So allow me to tell myself something that I know from the recovery world. Sometimes you gotta fake it. So maybe if you've lost that loving feeling, maybe if you've lost the joy that the children show, maybe today you can fake it till you make it. Studies show if you actually tell your face the smile, the feelings will follow the actions. So maybe today we can leave here with the actions of joy in Jesus on our face and in our hands. And if you've lost that love and feeling of Jesus, just maybe it will come back. But if you still got it and you never lost it, remember, you're the hype man. You need to help others out. You got that?
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.